Off the Ball. GAA.
Hurling traditions, obviously, will maybe smile at that. Kilkenny beat Kildare, but this is a different Kildare. This is a Kildare built on real confidence, real hurling, real belief.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Welcome to episode 133. That many of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tip stories, interviews, a bit of crack as well. Reminder, folks, as well, the full Off the Ball Racing Pod is free wherever you get your podcasts every week. I'm John Duggan, and Johnny Ward is off this week. Delighted to have in studio the legendary Tom Malone of the Irish Field. How are you, Tom?
I'm good, John. I'm good, John. Yeah. We've a bit of proper summer weather for the first Irish Classics.
I saw a bit of watering going down at the Curragh.
Yeah.
Is that something that's coming into the flat now as well as the jumps?
They would always have to do that. Like, we just had this kind of weird period. So, you know, we talked about that wet winter, but on the back of that wet winter, we've basically had six straight dry weeks, which I imagine from a ground management point of view is quite difficult, because you're going from absolutely saturated ground to just drying out completely. So, you know, well, on average, that rainfall looks good. In practice, it's very, very difficult. So just to manage it and keep it going. And the rain we've had over the last sort of week or so has been very sporadic and patchy as well. So you wouldn't be guaranteed to get it evenly across the entire track. So
do you need water for fast ground, flat horses?
I mean, that fast ground debate is something that kind of raises
the jumps. You can understand, obviously.
Yeah. I don't think you'd want it at this stage of the year, because it's more that what happens if you do get a really dry June, and then what are you going to have to do? Like, you just want to maintain a lovely bit of turf. The thing is, with race courses now, generally the way they're managed, they're almost managed like golf courses, really. So they drain incredibly well.
Okay.
Because, you know, you never want heavy ground at the Curragh, so it's never really going to get super heavy. So there is a lot of sand in the topsoil to let it drain that way. But just to maintain it and keep that grass growing and keep a good cover in the grass, look, I think officially it's sort of yielding, good to yielding in places.
It'll be probably quicker than that with the dry weather.
Yeah, you know,
now,
with a couple of dry days. But I imagine that whatever bit of water was put on was just to maintain an even racing surface the whole way around.
Interesting. Do flat horses sometimes get affected by very quick ground? Or
yeah, like, you see in the UK, there's been quite a pushback about it, that there's literally no fast ground. And you see, I've seen Shark Hanlon actually talking to Johnny on Racing TV, kind of giving out about the lack of proper summer ground you get anymore, where everything is just watered completely. And, you know, look, they are lower grade horses. They want summer ground. Over the jumps in particular, it's always going to be watered to some degree. It's never going to be allowed to dry out. But I think the days of having fast ground, like proper firm, and it's not good to firm, they're gone. They seem
apart
to be gone.
In the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, maybe the Breeders' Cup or somewhere like Bath that doesn't have a proper irrigation system, so they're just held to, you know, whatever way that the weather falls there. But I think firm going is just not something that they have anymore, and it probably doesn't suit all horses, but it suits the vast majority of horses, just for the sake of, you know, what could go wrong for having firm ground. You know, the fields get completely depleted. You know, some horses might get jarred up. So for an abundance of caution, it's probably for the best.
We got seven group races at the Curragh on Guinness weekend, which we're going to get into now, Tom. So I'm looking forward to this preview. We'll have Sam Norris as well from William Hill joining us a little bit later on for the market moves. So the Saturday card of the Curragh now is officially good to yield in place. It's probably going to be good ground by Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
3:40, Tattersall's Irish, 2,000 guineas. The Group 1, a mile, 10 runners like Estad. The Aidan O'Brien horse is, what, 5-2 on with Hills. Distant Storm, 5-1. Alpars, Land 9s, the Secret Adversary 10s, and then you're picking the odds around the rest. Power Blue, 33-1. Go Just Do It. A bit of small money for him, about 40s. Neolithic, 66. Pacific Avenue, 80s. And 125-1 for two horses. Take Charge Star and Bamako Beach. Stad was second in the Newmarket equivalent behind Bo Echo. So that was on his first run of the season. Surely he'll improve for that, and he's the one to beat.
He is, but 2-5, John, would you really like...
Well, you're looking for an each-way horse.
Yeah, you are looking for... The thing about Gestad, right, and in fairness to him, I think, so what, like, you look at his career, he's gone, he won first time out, then he was beaten favourite in the Mornay. He won first time out, and he obviously won the Coventry. He was beaten favourite in the Mornay. He was beaten favourite in the national stakes. He obviously then went and won the Grade One in America, and then he's been beaten favourite effectively again in the Guineas. So you can't really go and say, oh, you should get stuck into this horse at 2-5.
No.
So just for that reason, I would just be looking against
him. Is he going to win, though? Is he
but
most likely winner?
He should win. And, like, really, when you think about the Irish 2,000 Guineas, the horses that fill the places there, like, it's rare enough if Aidan doesn't win the Guineas that the winner kind of comes and attempts the double in the Kerr. They often just, you know, head for St. James's Palace or whatever and go for the mile option at Royal Ascot, particularly the UK trainers. You know, why would you come over in that, you know, extra pressure? But the more I've looked at this, the more I'm sticking with Alparslan. And I actually, whether, you know, I think when you look at Distant Storm, he was so far back, wasn't he? Like, he was so far back in Newmarket.
Third, yeah.
Now, in saying that, I thought both the runs in Newmarket, you know, behind Gestad in the 2-year-old race, the Dewhurst as well, you know, William Buick accepted his fate early enough on and just going to let him coast home for third, and he closed well. So I think there's probably a better run in Distant Storm than maybe showed at Newmark. And again, he was so far over the right-hand side, and, you know, Bo Echo was left, and, you know, I feel like he was just nursed home and he never really had a chance to win maybe from the draw. Just he was so far away from the pace. So I think there are plenty of reasons to oppose Gestad, especially the price. But Alparslan is definitely my selection. Carl Burke has the most unbelievable record in Ireland. I think he tips along at like 20-odd%. And when you take out the sort of, you know, the obvious horses that had no chance, like take out All Weather and strip it back like that, he has a brilliant record. And his record at the Kerr is phenomenal. He's won the 1,000 Guineas. He's won the the Moidler. You know, he's won a Matron Stakes. So his top-level runners in Ireland are excellent. And my first viewing of Amparslan's win in the Greenland, or the Greenham rather, I was like, oh, did he fall over the line? Because your eye is so drawn to Zavateri, and obviously everyone's looking at Albert Einstein to see what he does. But actually, I think Alparslan won quite well over seven, and he should see out the mile. It'll be, you know, the Curra mile is one that can suit a 7-furlong horse. It's very fair. It's a slight downhill at the end. So, you know, a front runner can get rolling. And I think at 9-1, Alparslan is definitely the play for me.
Well, I think that it's a race from a betting perspective to be looking at with 10 runners and each way horse.
Absolutely.
Like over 8 runners, so it's a 50 odds to get in the first 3. So even if Gestad wins, you're looking at something making a profit on, can you pick a horse to finish second or third, really? I do a colour code for all these races, Tom, and the one I put into the different colour was Alparslan.
Yeah, so well, there he's bringing, he is bringing a different form line as well. You know, like,
he's won at the course too as a as a 2-year-old, and
nice,
Carl Burke thinks he'll get a mile, and he also said that Newmarket didn't suit him last year when he had his disappointing run. So I think he's a really good each way bet. Nothing, to completely agree with you,
yeah,
Al Parson.
And like, you know, the secret adversary, he has a chance, but like, you know, he'd
beaten 12 lengths in the Newmarket Guineas.
He was so well beaten, and like, really, you know, the front two, Gestad and Bo Echo, like, they were so far clear of Distant Storm. While I'm making a case for Distant Storm, if things fall his way a little bit better, like, he still has an enormous amount of ground to make up, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he's running the Dewhurst.
As you say, you need to be looking at horses being at a different race.
Yeah,
that
100%.
Can improve, and that's 100%. What Alparslan has done. Like, go just do it. A bit of small money for him at a big price. Won a Gowran Maiden, Goran Park, to start his 3-year-old racing career. Of course, third staying on a Group 2 last August. He's an unlikely winner, but he's not a no-hoper, I don't think.
No, and like...
And he's what? You can get 40-1 on him.
Yeah, and Joseph doesn't send his horses... Well, he send his horses here for no reason. You know what I mean? Like, his horses are going well. You know, and you would think he would have one or two. You're going to have a chance in this kind of race. But I like Alparslan each way.
So we both agreed, great minds and all that. 3:40 at the Curragh on Saturday, the Irish 2000 Guineas, the Group 1. So one of three group races on Saturday, the Curragh. Let's look at the Greenland Stakes. That's a 3:05. So this is a 6-furlong race with 11 runners. And we have in the market, interestingly, Powerful Glory is put in as favourite for his first run of the year. 7-2 with Hills, Bucanero Fuerte, a bit of money for 9-2, Montesiba 11-2, Comanche Brave 6s, Spycatcher attracting a little bit of support with Hills 15-2, Marvelman's 8s, James's Delight, last year's winner 10s, Big Gossie 14-1, Chicago Critic 16s, Valiant Force 40s, Fregata 66-1, more open than the 2000.
Yeah, it is. And look, a lot of Irish sprints, people will just automatically be drawn to the UK horses, and that's fair enough. They have an excellent record in this race and lots of other races like this. But, I mean, I think genuinely one of the best bets in the card actually here is Bucanero Fuerte. He has an unbelievable course record. He's a Group 1 winner over course and distance. He won here over course and distance last year. He doesn't travel. Anytime he goes to the UK or like that, he just bombs out. I know he's had a couple of spins already this year, but I would imagine, you know, he's a five-year-old, he's by Wootton Bassett, he's had a failed stud career. So, you know, a couple of pipe openers to get him going, and I imagine this is very much his sort of target for the season. And like I say, 6 furlongs at the Curragh is very much a speciality, and assuming things are all good with him. Look, he finished 5th last time out, that's a positive. But at 9-2, I just thought Bucanero Fuerte had a brilliant bet in the Greenlands.
It'd be a boost for his trainer, Robson Aguiar, David Egan riding him. I know what you mean. So you put his inconsistency down to that he doesn't travel. And if you wipe out that inconsistency, that makes him a strong contender for you. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, and look, that run behind, like Mission Central is no mug. Like, I mean, he's there behind King Coon and Mission Central. Like, Mission Central is pretty much, you know, he's been talked about as a lively chance for Royal Ascot over 5. I know he's a kind of a weird one for Aidan O'Brien, that even you see Mission Central these days and he has a noseband and he's gelded and he has a really terrible head carriage. But, you know, the fact that Aidan O'Brien still has him says he's obviously a phenomenal athlete. So, you know, just to run in behind him over 5, like I said, I think 6 furlongs of the Curragh is Bucanero Fuerte's track and trip, and I'll be quite strong on him. Also as well, by the way, Big Gossie was quite unlucky in this race last year, and I know he had his day in the sun already at the Curragh this year.
Yeah, that was the time to catch him though, wasn't it? When he had the fitness and the other horses didn't.
Yeah. But if he drifted there in the day now and you got some nice each way select paces, he could finish, you know, 4th or 5th.
But he's 14s at the moment and he could probably be over 20s.
I'd say on the day, yeah, he'd be 20s, yeah.
So Powerful Glory is interesting that this horse is attracting the money because he was a 200-1 winner of the Group 1 Champion Sprint Stakes at Ascot last October, which was a massive shock at the time, with Jamie Spencer riding for the Fahis. And obviously he's must be working well if he's been put in now as favourites. No issue with the trip or the ground. First run of the season for him. The one I liked a couple. I think you got to respect James's Delight in that he won it last year, a surprise winner, and has enjoyed a similar preparation. Dylan Brown McMonagle riding as well. So I wouldn't put anybody off him. Comanche Brave is a... Look, he's got Ryan Moore in the saddle, and that for me is worth... It's always worth a second look, to be honest. He's the best jockey, right? So hard to weigh this horse up because he's been running over 7 furlongs and 1 mile races. This could suit him better though, and he might have the ability. Like, he was 2nd in the Group 2 at Leopardstown last year over a mile. He does have the benefit of a recent run, so he could be worth a small each way bet if you're thinking about a horse that maybe they haven't been able to figure out yet.
Yeah,
Comanche Brave 6-1.
Like Spycatcher has a squeak at a big price as well. Actually, for Carl Burke, was 3rd over course and distance last year too, and you know, ran into.
He is 8 though. That's the one thing.
Yeah. But he's had his run, so sometimes these sprinters, like, they can just kind of keep.
Marvel Man, for example, is the top rated horse in the field, but hasn't run since February, and his suitability over the trip is unknown. So it is a little bit of a trappy one. But I know what you're saying about Bucanero Fuerte, and you've got a kind of you come to the conclusion that. I didn't, but I understand you're thinking about it. But don't discount Ryan Moore, folks, whatever he's riding.
Yeah.
That's the Greenland Stakes.
To be fair, Ryan Moore could have 10 winners this weekend. Yeah. He really could. You know, when you look through those, you look through some of the maidens and stuff like that. Double figures is not out of the question.
That's the Greenland Stakes, 3:05 at the Curragh on Saturday. The 4:15 at the Curragh on Saturday is the Gallinul Stakes, I've got that right. 9 starters, 1 mile and 2 furlongs. Causeway 5-4, favourite for Ryan Moore and Aidan O'Brien. Drop Dead Gorgeous 15-8. Amadeus Mozart 15-2. Then you're looking at bigger prices. The rest, Shehan 11-1. South Island 14, 16-1. Bar those. Look, Causeway. They think a lot of him at Bally Doyle. I mean, they spoke about the Guineas for this horse.
Yeah,
he's a course since. Course winner of a Lister race over a mile last time out, Ryan Moore rides. And Drop Dead Gorgeous is the filly who won at Nace, maiden over a mile, and demonstrated an experience when 3rd in the filly's Group 3 over a mile earlier this month. And she can be forgiven that. She is a contender as well. But Ryan Moore does pick Causeway.
Yeah, and like Drop Dead Gorgeous pedigree as well. Like, she's out of You're So Thrilling by Dubawi, so she's related to lots of Group 1 winners as well. Probably one of the best dams going. One thing I will say, this race, Shehan is a horse I have in my tracker this might not be the day for him. But if you're, you know, looking at horses, I think there might be like a Royal Ascot handicap or something like that in him. But not sure he'd beat Causeway. But here we go, get another run into him, might get dropped to something like 99, be really competitive in a Royal Ascot handicap. But Causeway wins this. Causeway is, you know,
Causeway wins this at odds against.
Yeah. I can't believe this horse odds against, to be perfectly honest. Beautiful pedigree. In another year, he'd be favourite for the Guineas, wouldn't he? Like, you know, if Stad wasn't it there, and you pop this lad in there, I mean, he'd be right up there, joint favourite alongside the Godolphin horse, wouldn't he? So, you know, if he's in that context, I just can't look past him. And you know, he's had that prep as well. He's gone and won the Madrid. He's then gone and taken that the race in the Kerr over 7, which was the same kind of Paddington route. So that was my, and Autad did it as well. So the Athazi Stakes was. So I thought that he was just going to do that Paddington / Autad route to the 2000 Guineas. So the fact he comes up here and what's a lesser race, he should easily see out the trip. He's out of Heaven of Heavens by Wootton Bassett. So 10 furlongs, not a problem. Yeah, big, big fan of Causeway.
The one a bit like Al Parslan, I took Cheyenne as well out of this when doing the tissue, as it were, Tom, because course and distance winner and soft ground a reappearance, upsetting the stalls for finishing fourth at Leopardstown Derby Trial. If you put a line through that, definitely could run better than his odds, not only tomorrow, but as you say, in the future.
He's a gorgeous big horse as well. Like, he is an absolute stamp. So maybe just a slightly quicker ground in Leopardstown. So maybe if he gets quick ground in Royal Ascot, maybe that won't be it. But he is a horse to keep an eye on. He is a beautiful model of a horse. Huge, big chestnut gelding, and just really took the eye out of my head the day he won, first time out this season at the Curran. It's just one that went in the tracker.
That's Saturday's action at the Curra. Let's look at Sunday's four Group 1 races, or not Group 1, but a couple of Group 1s and a Group 2 and a Group 3 as well. But the Group 1 definitely is the 1,000 Guineas for fillies, 4:30 on Sunday. So True Love won the Newmarket version, is odds on, 11-10 on. Ryan Moore has been chosen to ride this one. A Precise, who was favourite for the Newmarket Guineas, second favourite under Wayne Lord, and both for Ballydoyle, 7-2. Abashiri is 11-2 for William Buick. Then we're looking at bigger prices, the rest. America Queen, 18s. Sukanya, 22s. Black Caviar Gold, 28s. As is Manucure. Pivotal Attack, 33s. Kensington Lane, the same price, 33-1. Beautify, 40s. Hope Queen, 50s. And Sinmara, 50-1. Is this the same as Causeway, True Love's? I mean, True Love is an amazing horse that she won at Ascot over 5, and she won the Guineas at Newmarket over a mile.
It wasn't really the fact that she won in Newmarket. It was more the fact that you could call her the winner in the dip. Like, you know what I mean? Like, your eye was just so drawn to her because Wayne Lorden was just motionless. He was just sitting there and everything else was starting to move, and, you know, jockey's getting lower in the saddle, and he was just stood there going, "Now I'll wait another minute. I'll wait. And then he just asked her to go, and she just opened up in them. Like, you know, He ran a different race almost to everything else. He won so easily. You know, I think last year we kind of marked her out as an utterly exceptional 2-year-old. Then she did have sort of that couple of blots in her copybook later on. You know, she didn't run at all when in America, and obviously she, you know, finished second over 6. That was really weird when she was beaten in the Phoenix Stakes. She was beaten 1-4 that day, you know, by Power Blue. Just, it was a kind of totally bizarre run, but you know, aside from those two runs, which I'd always forgive a European horse a bad run in America or the Breeders' Cup at the end of a particularly long season, given she did have a long season. She looks exceptional. Really big fan. If I was going to look at an each way selection, actually, I like Sukanya at 16-1.
We keep on agreeing on this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Sukanya's interesting. Once again, a bit like Al Parslan, has gone a different road, so, and done well down a different road. So that can work two ways. The horse will either, will find the going way too tough, or it'll surprise us at a bigger price than we would expect. Like, won a Group 3 there at Newbury, the Dubai Duty Free Stakes over 7 furlongs last month for Jack Channon, who fancied it. Didn't have the best of runs with his 2-year-olds last year, but second behind Diamond Leckless at Leopardstown last year. And this has been the plan.
Like, that's excellent form. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's a lot of time you would have said Diamond Necklace would have been favourite for this race last year. You know, like that, like that's outstanding bit of 2-year-old form. And you'd be thinking, oh, well, Diamond Necklace, exactly the kind of horse to go to end up near the top of the market for this or an Oaks, you know?
Wildly different opinions in terms of the odds compilers. So yeah. 22-1 with Hills to Kanye, 12-1 with another bookmaker.
There are some nice storylines, though. I like Jack Shannon, obviously son of Mick Shannon.
Yeah.
You know, they. I think there was in 2012 Samatar. They won this race with a few years ago as well. Obviously, Richard Hughes has America Queen. I'm pretty sure that's his first classic runner in Ireland. That'd be magic. Obviously, you know, his dad Desi trained on the Curragh for years. His sister Sandra had an Irish national winner. You know, his nephews are. His nephew David is riding as well, so it's a lovely family story. If that were to if something were to happen for Richard Hughes, that'd be brilliant to have Billy Ocnan on board as well. But yeah, there's a few nice stories potentially in the race.
So True Love the winner for you?
She is, yeah.
What about Precise then? She's disappointed.
I feel like we don't know where to go with Precise, because the way she ran in the Guineas, I was kind of going, well, maybe she's just an Oaks filly. She looked a bit slow in the closing stage. But then you look at her pedigree, and she's by Star Spangled Banner, so she can't really get too far, you know, 10 furlongs tops. But she just really just seemed to plug on at Newmarket, didn't she? Just, I don't know where she needed the run. But yeah, she was very good. Brilliant filly last year as a 2-year-old. But it was just a strange one, just a bit of a strange one. Exactly the kind of run you would have from an Aidan O'Brien Oaks filly. You know, that kind of one where they you know, they run well and then they just kind of stay on here, Grant. She'll be a, you know, a rhododendron or whatever and go on and win the Oaks. But you just can't see it on pedigree, so yeah. I'm intrigued.
There's two betting angles here, really, whether you can almost want to forecast True Love and Precise, or do you look, as you said, for an outsider? And I think we both agree that,
yeah,
you
know, I feel
the
like
one Sakanya is an each-way chance.
But I feel like Precise is almost giving you an each-way angle into the race, if
yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I kind of can't. After her run at Newmarket, I just can't really have her on my mind to win over a mile. She just, like I said, she just looked like she's crying out for a trip, even though on pedigree that doesn't make any sense. So it just brings those bigger price runners into it from an each way angle for me.
The other one that interested me, I spotted, was Manicure, who definitely had his best, or her best run rather, because this is a filly's 1,000 behind True Love at Leopardstown in the Priory Bell Stakes for Group 3 over 7 furlongs. It was a 28-1 shot in the day. And she could outrun our odds.
Yeah, and geez, Danny McLaughlin must be the youngest trainer on the Curragh as well. So it'd be great for him. Obviously, small yard. He's, you know, he's a great fella. And I think they've done some video with the Curragh. Or are going to do a piece on him on Sunday as well. I think Jane was then in the stables. So yeah, it'd be absolutely brilliant for Danny McLaughlin if that filly was to run a big race. And like I said, she's not, you know, she wouldn't be running out of turn, you know.
No,
she was second behind True Love in the trial at Leopardstown.
She surely will come on for that.
She's lots of place for him as well. Like, you know, she was second to Alparslan in that sales race as well. Like, we're going to say Alparslan could win at 2,000 guineas. Well, then, you know, she wasn't far behind him. So they think the world of this horse, obviously. You know, you're in a small enough yard. You have something that's potentially, you know, has been placed in a guineas trial and is running in a guineas at 20-odd to 1. Of course she's going to be the best in the yard, but yeah, that'll be a great story as well.
The Tattersalls Gold Cup on Sunday is the other Group 1 on Sunday. The Curragh 3.55, 8 runners, Mini Hawk 2-1 on, the big filly from last year. She won the obviously the Epsom Oaks, Irish Oaks, and was second in the Ark, and probably she would have won an ordinary Ark. She's kind of unlucky in a way.
Yeah,
she ran into Darius. But she had a workmanlike victory on her first run of the season. Come on, miles for that, surely. Does she win?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the fact that she even won first time out says volumes about her. You know, there's so many times where Aidan's horses get beaten first time out and then go and win Tattersalls Gold Cup. She's an absolutely brilliant record in this race. And, you know, it's not so much that she's brilliant. You just think it'll be a big step up for Sadat. It'll be a big step up for, you know, Al McCam. You know, like, she's officially only rated £1 more than Al McCam, but like, I just think she looks like one of those proper horses for the rest of the year. You know,
I thought the two improvers were Sadat and Bay City Roller. They were the two improvers for me. Now, I don't think good enough to improve to win this. But Sadat won over the distance at Sandown on his first start of the season. And then when you look at Bay City Roller, was a good second in a ding-dong battle behind Lambourne, last year's Derby winner. I don't think Lambourne was an exceptional Derby winner, but still not a bad run at Chester. First time out as well this season in the Huxley Stakes.
Yeah, also, I would imagine Lambourne is one of those horses that could keep getting better. He's such a big horse, you know, and he's also a horse that kind of just does enough as well. He's never, you know, he kind of beat a 60 horse by the same margin he beat a 100 horse. He's just one of those. He'll only just put his head in front.
Let's bring in Sam Norris from William Hill on the line. How are you, Sam?
I'm very good, lads. Yeah, yourself?
Not too bad, thank you.
Good, Sam.
We'll get into your race that you want to highlight at York and Haydock on Saturday momentarily, Sam. But just look at the Guineas markets for Ireland, the Curragh Saturday and Sunday. What is attracting the dosh?
Yeah, fascinating stuff, really. Obviously, 2,000 Guineas, you've got Gastard, who's obviously a short price favourite, and he's going to be popular with punters in multis and stuff, not been that well back through the course of the week, but the prohibitive price kind of tells you that. He's the only horse that really got within striking distance of Bo Echo at Newmarket. Renews rivalries with Distant Storm, who may well run better and get closer to Gastard than he did at Newmarket with the Appleby form in slightly better nick now than they were. The money horse, though, is one you guys have touched on already, actually. Alp Arslan, who's 12-1 into 17-2. Yeah, I thought his defeat of Zavateri was very good at Newbury last time out. Sam James goes over to take the ride. He speak to Carl Burke yesterday and wondered what was the thinking with Clifford Lee riding in Haydock rather than going over to the Curragh for a classic ride this weekend. Carl said the decision was 100% Clifford Lee's. So he had the choice of coming to the Curragh to ride Alp Arslan or sticking at Haydock to ride Venetian Sun and Night Raider. And he's elected to stay at home. So it isn't a negative, is it? But
it's not a positive.
Yeah, you'd have loved to have heard the rider say, right, I'm going over there. This has got a huge chance. But it won't put me off Alp Arslan too much. And Sam James is a capable rider. But yeah, he's the money horse in the 2,000, 12-1. It's a 17-2.
What about the 1,000?
Yeah, the 1,000 Guineas, True Love has kind of been trending all through the course of the week as though she's going to be the horse that Ryan Moore rides. Once that was confirmed this morning, she shortened up again. She's at about 10 to 11 now. Obviously, gets off precise from Newmarket. I massively get the angle with Mongi Kaws, with some of the form that ties in tightly with True Love. You're kind of looking at it thinking, True Love's 10 to 11 and Mongi Kaws is just 28 to 1. Didn't get beat out of sight by True Love last time around. So that could be a very viable play in some of the each way extra markets. And the one to report for money in the race is Abashiri, who was 8-1 into 11-2 now. And as we said, the Charlie Appleby Yard are back in slightly better form. There's still a bit of a guess for punters as to what they're to do with the Appleby horses, but they're running better now than they were a few weeks ago. And 8-1 into 11-2 for Abashiri. She's been the mover in the 1,000. But yeah, True Love. And also in favourite for that as well.
So you got an involvement, Sam, William Hill, in the meetings at Haydock and York then on Saturday. So you're sponsoring the whole card at Haydock. You've got the Sandy Lane Stakes, you've got the Temple Stakes. What should we be looking out for?
Yeah, thrilled to be able to sponsor the full meeting at Haydock on Saturday. It's the sprinters to the fore, isn't it, with the Sandy Lane and the Temple Stakes. Venetian Sun's been very popular all through the course of the week, 9-4 in from 11-4 for the Sandy Lane Stakes. They were entitled to have a go the 1,000 Guineas last time around. She didn't stay, but that's fair enough. She's 4-4 over sprint trips, 3-3 over 6 furlongs, including the pre-morning from last year. So she's been very popular. We're betting 5-1 the field in the Temple Stakes. Jack Ajaro could be an interesting one there. He dazzled at York last week, won a handicap in the manner of a really nice looking animal from almost a solo on the stand side and Jamie Spencer. He's been interesting, kind of 12-11-1. We've seen money through the course of the week for soft ground horses at Haydock. It's soft heavy in places, but I don't know what kind of weather you guys are having, but it's
Haydock is just the most insane place. Like, how did it get? Like, it's lovely in Dublin today. Sorry, just to be clear. And it's going to be lovely for the whole weekend. Now, it has rained this week, but that is just hilarious that they've heavy ground.
It's surely going to quicken up. I know it can get like a bog at Haydock. And it did look tough going there, the meeting yesterday, but they race on it today and they race again tomorrow. So some of the market moves this week are based on heavy ground horses. I just don't think we're going to get that come Saturday. And it's nice weather in Ireland as well. I was half interested in Basis E Roller in the Tax Horse Gold Cup, but I think he'd probably need a drop of rain, so I'd be a bit lukewarm on that if if you guys are having good weather as well.
Yeah, it's just on the yielding side of good. I'd say it'll be good ground by Sunday. It's to be warm sort of from now on. So I'd say, I imagine just be good ground, lovely cover in the grass all weekend long.
So at York, you got the Bronte Cup Filly Stakes on Saturday. You got a Group 3. You're also sponsoring a big handicap with 21 runners over 5 furlongs. York never strikes me as a course where the draw matters that much, does it?
I mean, you're kind of right, but people sort of latch onto it like it does. The first day of the Dante meeting last week, you needed to be drawn low. And then the first two races on the second day, I think Stall 19 of 19 won the second race. But people often do put quite a bit of importance on it. But I always think with the draw wise, by the time you think you've worked it out, it's swung and it's different. Good to see a big field there at York again. It's it's a race where the punters can dabble with some of the each way extra markets. We've got extra place races all through the course of the weekend and an epic boost going live on racing at 9 a.m. Saturday morning as well. So yeah, good to have the four races at York, the Haydock card, and you know, with the classics in Ireland as well. Such a glittering 2-day meeting of the Curra. It's a fantastic weekend of racing, both sides of the Irish Sea.
The 240 at York, this William Hill handicap, just looking at the course and distance winners, always important, I think, in these races. Air Force One, Vintage Clarets, Francisco's piece is not. So Air Force One, Vintage Clarets, Squealer is one, and Fortification. What about these other group races then on Sunday, Tom, at the Curra? So we're looking at
the Marble Hill.
Marble Hill, yeah, 215, 6 furlongs, 8 runners. What do we got in this one to look out for? Even money favourite, Great Barrier Reef.
Even money, wow, yeah. Cool, yeah. Best 2-year-old I've seen this year. So
right.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely the best 2-year-old colt I've seen this year in the flesh anyway. Totally different from...
Won his maiden by 6 lengths last month.
Yeah, yeah. Totally different physical to like Albert Einstein and those kind of horses. He's a smaller, more athletic, slightly light-framed, beautiful horse, chestnut as well.
Out of No Nay Never.
Yeah, No Nay Never. But again, not a typical No Nay Never. A lot of those No Nay Nevers are big, massive, powerful horses, but he's just a much more lightly framed, athletic sort. And yeah, the two best 2-year-olds I've seen this year, him and Victorious at Nace. So I think Victorious was brilliant the other day as well. But she's 2 out of 2 now. But that fella's the best 2-year-old colt I've seen this year. So
disappointed if he doesn't win then.
Very disappointed if he doesn't win, yeah.
Because you look into a Coventry.
He should be. Sam, is he fab for the Coventry? I assume he is, but he'd be right up there near the top of the market. But yeah,
as soon as
he crossed the line, they were talking Coventry. So
yeah. Yeah, because it was Confucius, wasn't it? But I think you're right. Great Barrier Reef, as you said. So he's 3-1, Confucius is 6-1 now.
We also have at the Curra on Sunday the...
Sorry, if you think he's 3-1 for the Coventry, then you have to back him at even money on Sunday.
Yeah, he's had his run.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was the other one you thought was a certainty? Was it True Love or Causeway?
Causeway. Causeway.
That's your double, folks. That's your double. Till it all goes up in smoke. we have the Landwades or the Landwadders or...
Landwade Studs, yeah.
That's 320 at the Curra on Sunday, the Group 2 there. A mile, 12 runners.
By Kirsten Rousing, I'm pretty sure Landwade Studs are. You know those green... green and white hooped... Sir Mark won the arc with a filly whose name escapes me. I'm sure Sam will...
Alpinista,
that's it.
Yeah. City of Memphis is in there, 11-4. Just looking through actually here. Let's go through the Hills odds for this one. 320
on Sunday. City of Memphis, fab there.
Yeah, 11-4. Like one look, 7-2. Course and distance winner, Jean C, 4-1. And then 8-1 bar those. So what are you liking, Tom?
Well, when I was looking at this yesterday, I thought Fallen Angel was going to run in this and that was going to be my bet of the day, but she hasn't been declared. But I think Jean C, that win in the UK the last day at Newmarket came a little out of the blue, and you know, she was sort of 18-1, but she won really well. So I think if you missed her at sort of double figure prices, you can't be going back in again at 4-1. Not saying she can't win, but look, I've always been a one look fan and I'm probably not going to abandon her now. I know City of Memphis is her stablemate, but it's not a case of, you know, Billy Lee having to choose, because James Doyle would have always ridden one look anyway because of the ownership. So yeah, I'm sticking with one look. Not a kind of race I'd be mad keen on, but I do think she's a good chance.
She also won on her first start last season.
Yeah, and she won in her lifetime first start as well, which I think was the... Did she win the Goffs Million first time out? So she's she has good history of winning first time out.
Yeah, that's Paddy Toomey's horse. She won the Goffs Million. Tom, you know your stuff. 23rd of September 2023.
Like, didn't even run the maiden and then just won the Goffs Million. I remember interviewing Paddy Toomey that day, and I was interviewing before the race, and he was talking about going to the sales, and he said, "Oh, I'm looking for next year's winner." I never thought to ask him, "Do you have this year's winner?" And he didn't say anything, but she then went and hosed up on debut.
And then else to look out for the weekend, Sam, attracting money maybe and been nibbled at a big price?
Probably just chucking maybe one more at Haydock, actually. It is an Irish-trained horse from the Marnane Yard, actually, who comes to the 220, the William Hill Silver Bowl, which is a really competitive-looking handicap. It's filled. Maximum capacity is 17. Horses are getting balloted out of this race as well. So it's a proper competitive handicap. And for a horse who comes over from Ireland, Jamestown's the name of the horse, by the way, who comes into this as a maiden, 22-1 into 14-1 through the course of the week. He was short-headed by a horse called Bobby McGee last time around. That's a form that we do like. Bobby McGee came out again and won at Nace on his subsequent start. So it's very interesting. This is the route they go with Jamestown, who, you know, could, I think he could probably still win a maiden, but they want to come here, try and win a handicap, try and win a nice pot. He's 14-1 from 22-1. And I wonder if that's just an interesting bit of placing from the Marnane Yard. So yeah, Jamestown 14 from 22s at Haydock. But it's an Irish runner, of course.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with the form of Dave Marnane's yard either. He's had a brilliant start to the season. It feels like he is a winner every day over here in Ireland at the moment. Like, he's just, his horses are really, really in good form. And that Jack Ajaro he used to have as well, who's been backed. But he's a trainer in form.
Bobby McGee, that's Noel Mead's horse. He's a dual-purpose trainer now, Noel Mead. Would you be a man, Sam, that if you're looking at, if you're going, because you go to the races a lot for flat racing, you're working a lot of flat meetings, would you see two-year-olds in the paddock, and would that make you, give you a bit of an edge being at the race course as opposed to not being at the race course?
Yeah, absolutely. With two-year-olds, 100%. Yeah, 100%. Because you can see what they're like. You can see, first of all, their physical, you can see their fitness, and you can see their attitude, and, you know, how are they taking things in? You know, like, if you go to the race course and the two-year-old walks or, you know, jumps around the parade ring and leaves their race in the parade ring, like, if you're just watching on TV, you might not see that, and you might still back it just on pedigree or something like that. So, you know, there was a horse of Mick Mulvaney's there one during the week. I just thought, Arizona something was named, but again, he was a horse that really caught the eye first time out at the Curragh. He was really eye-catching in the parade ring, and then he ran a nice race and he placed and then he won during the week. So I think there's a massive advantage to be had for two-year-olds in particular, and especially horses at the start of the season. And actually, Buccaneer Fuerte is a horse in particular as well who I benefited from having gotten to know what he looked like, because I remember he won the first time out. He won the first maiden of the season at the start of the year, and he was an absolute bullock. He was just... You could easily say he was 60 kilos in and a hand bigger than everything else in the parade ring. He just looked a year older than them all. And then by the time the end of the year came and he'd won the Group 1 and his last run of the season, when he stepped up in trip, he just looked a bit lean, and like the season had a bit of an impact on him. So even though he was fit, you could see that the season had taken its toll on him and he probably was ready for a break.
Tom Malone, you got a 50-euro charity bet on the Racing Pod this week. Do you want to go 50 on the nose or 25 each way? What do you want to do?
No, we're going straight in, all in. Win on Causeway in the Gallineal Stakes. I think he could have won a 2,000 guineas, so I'm definitely going to back him over in a lower grade. And Causeway, the bet in the Gallineal.
Okay, that is Tom Malone's charity bet this week on the Racing Pod, and it's Causeway. This is in the Gallineal Stakes, Ash the Curragh, on Saturday at 4:15. Causeway, you can get a price at the moment of 5-4. Tom Malone's charity bet, 50 on the nose. If you're going to do it at home, folks, do a euro on the nose. Do it responsibly. Sam Norris, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Tom, thank you.
Cheers, Tom. Good exam.
We'll speak to you folks on the Racing Pod next Friday. Remember, it's free wherever you get your podcasts. We look forward to having your company then.
The Racing Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With William Hill. 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.